Discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Drew, did you know, notice out on the highway tonight, was this sort of a night of the ether-ridden?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Retard?
Yeah.
Like, people were just in this haze, just sort of meandering about the freeway.
Unless
you
went fast, and they had one of those aggressive things, they got to come up right beside you.
Oh, really?
I had a couple of those.
It's just such a strange rhythmic thing that goes on
full
in
moon.
These L.A. freeways. Is it a full moon?
Mm.
Is that what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mo Collins is our guest tonight. Mo is from Mad TV, fourth season. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Finished my fourth season.
The show is got picked up for its ninth season. And we
canceled 12 times.
We always talk about... Listen, we talk about this because we've... From the beginning of our show, whether it be on radio or when we were on MTV, it was always the Mad TV... was basically the beginning of Mad TV.
Yeah.
And they probably had a year head start on us, but we'd always have the cast. We've had just about every cast member on and every year. And every year, they'd always say, when the mics went off, this is it.
We say, this is it, right?
This is it.
Yeah.
No, I know actors are a little superstitious, and maybe they don't want to count their chickens before they hatch, but this was really it. We heard on about 8 occasions.
That's not a single exaggeration.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I'll be the first one to say that we will never go away.
That's it. That's over.
Now it's done.
I mean, we've got two more seasons picked up.
Oh, really?
Two more, yeah.
Wow.
We're heading into the 8th, and the 9th is already picked up.
Oh, my God.
We just continue to fly under the radar.
Well, it's a weird, it's an interesting thing, the format, the sketch comedy format, which is... Saturday Night Live's been around for so long, and it's sort of the benchmark, at least name-wise. And other shows, like, if you can make it past a certain point in sketch comedy, then you become what you are. I mean, I know that sounds weird,
but we
now you're
something.
Mad TV.
Now
it's like you're Mad TV, right.
And now things are compared to us.
Yeah, you become like a Major League Baseball franchise.
You become a franchise, yeah.
Yeah, which is... Well, yeah, you don't win the World Series every year. You just, you know, they're the Yankees, and you become the Padres or something, and you just, I don't mean Padres, but I've been around for 100 years, but I mean, you just become a fixture. People start seeing your jerseys and your names around.
It's the Devil Rays.
Yeah, once in a while you get a good player. Sometimes you lose a good one.
Yeah.
But you just become, people know who you are.
We're a team. We're there.
I imagine that's what Mad TV
that's
has become.
That's very much what it is. Yeah, we're solid. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah, me and Jimmy did a episode of Mad TV last year. Or this year?
This last season you did.
What the hell was it?
The ice skating.
Yes, good
Michelle
times.
Michelle Kwan.
Good times. All right. So 11 o'clock on Saturday night, of course, on Fox. And let's take some phone calls and speak to Doris, who's... 19 doors.
Yeah.
Full moon tonight, Drew, really?
Because
I hit an energy when I got out tonight in my car. It was lots of just weirdos. Okay, Doris, go ahead.
Okay, I gave birth more than a year and a half ago. And just like a couple of months ago, I started having sex again. And like during sex, when he would come out and, you know, just like move around and stuff and, you know, change positions, it was like a little bit of air out of my vagina would come out, and it's really embarrassing. It would sound like gas.
Right.
And I want to know, is that normal? What can I do about it? You know?
It is normal.
She couldn't put some sort of bleeder valve on her navel or something. Like, do that with brakes in a car. They'll bleed it out.
I know how handy and creative you are. You might be able to come up with something. But
hey, Doris?
Yeah.
I'm doing some math here. You're 19?
Yeah.
One kid a year and a half ago?
Pregnant at 16, possibly?
17.
Just 17. Mm. Talking about? Oh, boy. She sounds like she'll make a wonderful mother.
What a way to go through life. Stuff just happening to me. That just happens. Well, let's answer a question. Doris, completely normal. Obviously, there's a little more laxity down there after childbirth.
Kegel exercises.
Kegel exercises, really? Abdominal muscle exercises. Those things will be helpful.
I've got a seven-year-old. Yeah, you got to do the Kegels.
How do you do those Kegels?
I'm doing them as I'm sitting here right now.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in you.
There's muscles down there. You just got to get back to using them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how do you do it?
How do you do that Kegel?
Are you doing 10 shorts and 10?
You guys are both looking at me Kegel right now.
Are you doing 10 short ones?
I'm Kegeling.
Are you?
But we got to teach people.
Well, put the mic down there so I can tell if you're Kegeling.
You can't hear it. It's all inside.
Yeah, there's 10 flicks followed by 10 contractions and then do several sets of that.
Yeah.
Why? What's that going to do for you, though? What does that do for your
mind?
It tightens up the muscles.
The tone there.
You have a kid, that's a lot coming through the portal.
This floppiness.
Yeah, it's just...
Drew, quiet down over there.
There's no muscle tone. You know, if you take a muscle and you stretch it all the way out,
right.
It doesn't come all the way back.
Why not? You know, doesn't?
I don't know. Doctor.
Then what do? You do yoga and then you stand up and you fall down because your muscles got too stretched out?
Beyond that, you got to hope that you got a partner with a good sense of humor.
Really?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, Drew's always talking about women snapping right back.
They do, but there's some more mobility to that. It snaps a lot back. It's not as though they're loose.
It's never going to be the same again.
It's just different.
Really?
That's why you don't get pregnant at 16.
Well, maybe that's why you do get pregnant at 16.
Yeah.
You snap back a little better. Sarah?
Yeah?
Maybe she could get pregnant at 12. Sarah, you're 17.
Yeah.
How many times have you been pregnant?
Me? Zero.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Send you out a windbreaker, baby.
Yes, please. Okay, well, I'm just going to say that you guys are so cool. I just listen to you every night. You're just the best.
Thanks.
Okay. So, me and my boyfriend, we always used to be like real big on foreplay, and now he doesn't want any foreplay. He just wants to go straight to the sex.
Was the foreplay, the big foreplay action before you ever even had sex?
Yeah.
Oh, shocking. How did I know that?
Let me scrape Drew up off the floor. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. He used to love giving me massages. He used to love
kissing me
cooking
all over.
Me pancakes. He used to love... No, he didn't love any of that.
He was just working his way over to something.
He doesn't want me to give him head.
No!
He won't give me head.
Oh. Mm. Bad guy.
That pissed me off.
All right. Well, yep. Well, it should.
Hold on. I love it when a young lady refers to oral sex on her as head. That's so classy. You don't want to give me head. Why is this? Is this turning into one big Gold Bond commercial? Why does everyone sound like they're doing a Gold Bond commercial?
Full Moon Night.
Is that it? Sarah?
Yeah.
Not giving you a hand. He doesn't want any.
I'm sorry. All right.
But Sarah, he was just working his way to the sex. That's what all that good behavior was about before.
But I want him to give me oral sex.
Well, tell him.
Well, you
tell
listen.
Him he has to do that before he gets the
right,
sex.
Right. You hold the key. Look, hey, you want to do this? Fine. First, me. That's it. You have all the power. All of it.
I'm gonna tell him.
What's that?
I'm just going to tell him.
Yes.
Yeah.
You believe me, he'll be fine. He'll just, he'll immediately get to it.
But do you really, hold on a second, though. Do you want a guy doing that who's just doing it to sort of get it out of the way?
Yeah, exactly.
He'll be working just as hard as he worked.
His head.
Plus, he'll be working just as hard as he did trying to get there the first time.
Hold on. There are Kegels for the mouth, too, so I can warm up? All right, Sarah. Head is head. And just tell him.
He'll be working hard at it.
Can I ask another question?
No.
Yeah.
That's enough. No. That's plenty. One question. That's all.
Does that feel good to do that?
No, but it doesn't feel bad. And that's how I go through life. I don't look for what feels good, Drew. I look for what doesn't feel bad.
Yeah.
There's a difference. Bridget?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much. Actually, I love Mad TV, and I just want to say Amanda Biercy, your producer, lives down the road from me.
Oh, yeah. She's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, I went to Young Harris College.
Oh.
Where she lives at, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've been seeing this guy.
That is fascinating.
Isn't that just...
Hey, that's it's
amazing.
A small world.
All right.
I've been seeing this guy. I started seeing him a year ago, and we dated for about 4 or 5 months. He was the second guy I ever slept with. totally in love with him. And I got kind of strung out on some speed and got a little problem. So I got over all that, and then a year later he came back around and started, you know, I'm so sorry for leaving you, and just yada, 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 bullshit guys pull.
Oh, can I say that? No, you can't say it.
Wow.
I'll tell you, it's Deb night on, these women, are they pulling the tobacco out of their mouths before they get onto the phone?
No, they're pulling their beers out of the trailer.
This mother effer wouldn't give me head, so I kicked him. Jesus Christ. Listen, everybody. I know we talk about a lot of explicit material on this show. And they do on these shows and on morning shows and even on network TV. And on Mad TV, you're going to hear some pretty dirty stuff going on.
Yeah.
But if you notice, if you pay attention, they never use the S word or the F word.
Not without some bleeps.
That's right.
It never gets through.
It never gets through.
No.
I mean,
not some of the time.
You can listen to the raunchiest morning radio that's on, and they can be talking about queefing and felching and 69ing and stuff, but you'll never hear someone say, holy S.
Yeah.
I don't know why, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but you're not going to hear it. And even on this show, and this is one of the filthiest shows to ever come down the pike. And here's how I know it's the filthiest show ever to come down the pike, because it's not like there was a show that was filthier 50 years ago. It's not like Amos and Andy were filthier. Do you know what I mean?
No,
show could ever be this filthy.
It's never been trumped.
Well, it can't. It's like movies grossing box office kind of thing.
Right.
The Gone with the Wind couldn't have been done because the movies were, you know, buck a seat.
I see.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
No, we couldn't have done close to this 50 years ago in radio.
Right,
this is the filthiest show ever to exist up until this point in history. And even we cannot use the S or the F word.
But listen, barriers are being broken. They said it on ER the other night.
They used the S word?
They absolutely effing did.
And they
used the S word, but not the
S word.
F word.
They used the S word.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
wow.
New door open.
Oh, I did hear about this.
Maybe we should get into this then.
And then also remember with the 9/11 piece.
The 9/11, which opened the door for
ER.
For ER to then use a word.
A lot of holy S.
Yeah. You mean when the camcorder was filming
That's and on 60 Minutes over a year ago.
Over a year ago on 6 Minutes. Yeah. All right, well, we're behind the times.
The door's
everyone
open.
Everyone should say it.
All right. You want us to say it?
All right, all I'm saying is please, attention tards, stop using the S word, especially when you're not even quoting anybody. You're just being casual about it. Beats the S out of me. I don't give an S. S happens.
But it does. First of all, it speaks a little bit about how comfortable people feel talking to us. Secondly, it also speaks volumes about how commonly people just use those words in everyday language. It's just part of people's lexicon now.
But it also speaks to how stupid our callers are that they cannot
contain
themselves. If they were on a job interview, the mother effer word would come out at least 6 times. I'm convinced of it. All right, so I'm not talking to Bridget.
Oh,
anymore.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
F her.
Dude.
I'm done. Our first three callers use the S word. Jim?
Yep.
You're 35?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I just wanted to tell Mo that she's the only person on TV that can be like a character that's totally repulsive and then sexy in the same show.
Oh, I love how the repulsive comes before the sexy, always.
But it is better.
You.
Yeah, that's a payoff.
Hey, I appreciate that.
That coughing lady is just terrible.
Repulsive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, you do the beauty queen thing and it works.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to tell you that.
Thank you. Now you need to get off the phone and call Fox Network and tell them.
Eighth and ninth season coming up there,
yep.
Big Jimbo.
And Adam?
Yeah.
I'm the editor of a Hot Rod magazine, and I totally get your Hot Rod stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be like the editor of Bust Out or Score.
Yeah. What kind of Hot Rod magazine do you edit?
I can't tell you which one, but it's a Hot Rod magazine.
Oh.
Wait, just curiosity.
Why can't you
announce it on national radio, the name of your magazine?
Well, I said the Bust Out and Score thing on the same deal.
I see. Oh, you're already. All right. Good point.
All right. Good times over there, Jim.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk to Shannon. Shannon's 27. Shannon?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I'm 27, and my boyfriend, he's going to be 35 in a couple of months. And The thing is, it seems that I want sex much more than he does, and I want to know what I could do to get him to want sex more, or maybe I can just lower my sex drivers.
Where are you at?
Dallas.
What are you looking for?
Sure, do you think you're going to get an answer?
What are you looking for? How many times a day?
Well, at least once a day.
You mean a week, don't you?
No.
No, I mean, I'm talking to Drew. You didn't mean how many times a day do you want
it? I saw on the screen it said multiple times a day there, and I thought...
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. You're reading the screen. Yeah. Well, that's your first mistake. So you'd want it at least once a day?
At least.
At least. And he wants it how often?
Once, maybe twice a week.
And do you think the more you're coming on to him, the more he's retreating?
Yes.
And have you always been like this?
No, I haven't. It just seems like recently it's...
Just with this guy?
Yes.
Do you think it started up more as he began to slow it down sexually?
Well, I never thought about that.
Well, you know what I'm saying? You started pacing it up because he started slowing it down?
Sort of coming after him?
Maybe, but I mean, we've been together for 9 months, and
that maybe is as close to a breakthrough as we've had in 6 months.
Absolutely.
On this show.
Yeah, of course. So 9 months, and it's been going like this the whole time.
No, it's the first couple months. It was pretty heavy.
He was keeping up.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to slow. You just didn't want to slow down.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this is tough because if you come, guys get a little weird about this. If you come to them and say, I need it more, I need it, whatever, you're more going to throw a stick in their cogs. You know what I'm saying?
You feel like you can't keep up, and you start feeling ashamed and threatened. And
then you start avoiding things. And
is that true?
Yeah. It's not going to work to come at the guy.
Wow.
I don't believe. But I don't know what the answer is in that case.
Are you on a birth control pill?
Yes, definitely.
Did that change your drive?
No, I've been on the birth control pill for years.
Any other medication you're on?
No.
You any history of bipolar illness or anything like that?
No.
You've been doing your Kegels?
Yes.
Yes. Anything ever, did you pack on any weight or get burned horribly by acid or anything like that?
No.
No sexual abuse in childhood? Oops.
What am I just
hold on.
Schedules.
Uh-oh. Sexual abuse.
You got some sexual abuse, baby?
Yes.
Hey.
All right.
Who did this?
My stepfather.
Oh,
for how long?
Life.
Yeah.
About 6 months, but then I told on him, and so...
Have you had periods in your life when you've been really shut down sexually?
No. Never.
Always above average?
Right. And it's never... It's always been... Where it seems like I've been the person that has been pursued.
How?
All the time.
Yeah, well, that's normally how it is.
How old were you
when your stepdad did this?
13.
All right, it's sort of an interesting situation because usually it's younger than that to really nail the physiology the way we're used to hearing about it.
But that's why she's not a mess.
Right, that she was able to report it, so she's not truly a victim.
Right,
she was a little old to be sort of in. Necessarily rendered as sexually compulsive.
Well, according to the Jewish faith, she was a woman.
And yet, she is kind of sexually compulsive. But has never been shut down. You know, she doesn't fluctuate back and forth like we're used to hearing about what's
sexual. Did you ever get any therapy for what your stepdad did to you?
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, you sound okay. I think you guys... I'm going to go back on something I said. Why don't you just have a conversation with the guy and see about meeting in the middle somewhere?
Yeah, make a compromise. And don't feel threatened by his the fact that he might not be able to keep up right where you want it. That's just where he's at physiologically.
Also, guys have this thing, which is interesting, which is when they sense that something's driving the chick sexually,
right.
That it's not just, well, you're hot for me because I'm such a studly piece of ass, but that your stepdad got hold of you, goosed you a little bit 10 years ago. Now you have this sort of abnormal sexual metronome ticking in your belly, and you're coming at me. Guys they can't even explain it, but they get a little weird. They get like, that's okay.
Doesn't feel right.
No, yeah. It actually, he's kind of sensing what this actually is.
Right.
She's saying, I'm not horny. She's saying, you got to fix something.
Yeah.
Like, there's something a little broken in me, and I need you in me every day
right.
to make it right.
Right.
And he's going, my penis ain't your therapist.
Right.
Is that what he's saying, Drew?
Therapist or, magic wand, something, some of those words.
Okay. Mo Collins is our guest tonight. She's from Mad TV. You know her as the repulsive and sexy one.
That's right.
I think we should take one more call and then go to break, all right? Yeah? You want to take a line, too, here, Drew? Let's talk to Tim. Tim?
Hey.
Hey.
I still cannot believe I'm talking to you. You're like my God.
Thanks, Tim.
Every Sunday, we like have a little party for the man show. It's awesome.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Anyways, and the scene when you peed on that guy's wallet, that was the best thing I've ever seen on TV.
You know, I was just talking about what a triumph that was. Today, literally.
So those are all your writers?
Well, no, we're on stage tonight. We're doing three shows tomorrow. We're on stage tonight walking through the Wheel of Destiny. Mm. And we got a great new one. Jeez, I wonder if I can say it. I guess I can say it. If it happens, it happens. You got to smoke. You got to smoke a bong load of Adam's ass hair. I mean, you got to pop a ball. You understand?
You aren't concerned that's going to harm somebody?
I don't think it is. Psychologically, possibly.
I think their lungs
physiologically?
They're going to get a vasculitis.
Oh,
lungs
you smoke
explode.
Banana peels. You smoke all sorts of herb. Oh, please, Drew. This guy's smoking bags and bags of weed that they got from some guy from the park. Isn't Come on, you can smoke a little my ass here. I'm a B celebrity. But I was thinking, as I was staring at the bong that was up on stage.
It's going to shrink the population of those willing to take the risk and the plunge, the Wheel of Destiny.
You got to pull out all the plugs when you pull out the Wheel of Destiny. And as I was reminiscing, as I was looking at the bong, picturing my ass hair in it tomorrow night,
Good
and
times.
Hopefully some stooge popping that ball, I thought, what about that time I whizzed all over that guy's wallet? And what a triumph that was. And this guy, it's just, the part of the man show is called, we do it three, four times a year, the Wheel of Destiny. People just come up from the audience and they spin a big wheel.
Uh-huh.
And half the stuff on it is good and then half the stuff is bad. And everyone wants, you know, you're not going to change a channel until you see where the wheel stops. And one of the bad ones was Adam P's on your wallet. And this poor guy, and none of the stuff is staged or bluffed or anything. This guy pulled his wallet out of his pants, and it was as thick as a brick. And he had a pilot's license in it.
No.
He had pictures of his nieces and nephews and probably $180 of cash. I mean, it was one of the thicker wallets I've ever seen. I tossed it right in the urinal and just whizzed like a 12-pack right onto it.
Here's the great thing about guys, though. He put it back in his pocket, and he still has the same wallet.
I gave it to him with some barbecue tongs. But I got more compliments from that than any other bit because people said to me, how can you whiz in front of 200 people on demand that way? And, you know, that's what makes me one of the great performers of our generation.
And repulsive and sexy like that.
Yeah. All right, so, Tim, you had a question.
Yeah, I did. I have this, like, pimple-type thing, like, right above my rod. And I'm not sure if it's, like, some kind of, like, disease or maybe it's, like, some kind of pimple for me, like, jacking it too much with my sweaty hand.
Oh, jeez. All right, hold on.
With his what hand?
Sweaty hand.
Do you want to talk to him after
sure,
the commercial?
It's
really?
Cool.
You don't want to just tell him and get
All
him
right,
out of
it? Either I need to know more, but it either is a zit, like a carbuncle, or molluscum contagiosum. And the molluscum contagiosum, it looks like a little, tiny little zit with a hard top on it. You kind of peel that off, and it's a virus, and it sits around there for a long time. The zit will kind of come and go.
All right.
Been there more than a couple of weeks. It's molluscum.
Mo Collins, our guest tonight from Mad TV. We'll take a little break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Mo Collins is our guest tonight. She's from Mad TV, Fox, 11 o'clock, Saturday nights. And let's keep on keeping on.
Ooh, uh-oh. Eldon?
Yes.
That's a bad phone line, yeah?
Anderson, maybe we can do about that?
No. Nope. All right, so hold on there, Eldon.
Get him back on line 7 or something.
All right. How do we do that? How do you get someone on another line?
They get their phone number.
Get the number.
Get
the
phone
number.
Call back.
Yeah.
That seems ambitious for us, John.
Well, for you or I, of course. We're not doing it.
We should just go home. That's enough. We made our point. Mm-hmm. People get the idea of the show, don't they? People call in. We make fun of them. I scream about the freeways. Mo plugs Mad TV, and we go home. Josh, you're 17. What's up?
Hi. How's it going?
Good.
My girlfriend is pregnant at the moment, and it's not with mine.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been cheating on me for a while, so I'm not sure if I should still go out with her.
Can you turn your radio down, please?
It's not even on.
On the television. But be that as it may.
Whatever's in the background.
Hold on.
Thanks, genius.
I don't believe the question.
I don't either.
Okay, well, I just found out today that she's pregnant, but not with my baby.
How do you know?
So.
How do you know that?
She told me. She did the test thing.
How does she know?
Okay, you know those little tests?
How does she know she's pregnant with someone that's not
pregnant? Because it was with, like, her cousin or something.
Oh. What was with her cousin?
Her baby. She's having it with
her.
So you
haven't had sex with her?
No.
Never?
Never.
Never.
Okay, well, that's the part you gotta fess up with, you know, when we keep asking, how do you know?
Got it.
Never had sex. Okay. So why is she your girlfriend if she's having sex with other guys but not with you?
Well, I just recently found out today about that. She finally came out of the blue and just told me.
Told you what?
She cheated on me and had sex with her cousin.
Wait, you opened this conversation by saying she's been cheating for a while with guys.
Well, yeah, she does it right in front of my face. It's cool.
In front of your face?
Yeah.
She has sex with other family members, or
no,
these are just guys
people?
At school? I see. At your school?
Yeah.
How does she cheat right in front of your face?
Okay, well, let's see. There's torturing them by reaching into their pants and stuff like that.
She reaches into their pants.
There's three possibilities here. Three possibilities. One is, this is bogus.
Right.
Two is, Josh is an incredible loser.
And
needs to break up with this person. Or, if we heard her side of the story, it would be Josh. Oh, he's a nice guy. He's that nice guy at school.
How long have you two been dating? Yeah, we do talk to a lot of guys who are dating girls who don't know they're being dated by the guy who we're talking to. Could that be the situation, Josh?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, if we talked to her, would she call you her boyfriend?
Yeah.
She would?
Yes.
And how come you've never had sex with her?
She's just not ready for that, I guess, is what she keeps telling me.
But she's having sex with her cousin, right?
She was, raped.
By her cousin?
Yeah.
Boy, we just keep peeling this one like an onion. It just keeps going. Yeah?
Yeah.
When did she tell you about this?
She just told me about it today.
Uh-huh. What time?
11:30.
Yeah. I don't buy it. Hey, Josh?
Mm.
I don't buy it.
No way.
You're all over the map.
It wasn't even close to a good focus call.
You got to write.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. Here's what you got to do next time.
Get a scratch pad
and write the beats down, as we call it.
So
you don't
get it all confused.
All right, buddy?
It's an unbelievable
story.
I'm not lying
about this.
All right. Well, look, it's not your kid. You're fine. Just break up. All right?
All right.
All right. She's reaching in other guys' pants at school, right in front of it. Reaching into their pants. Right by the cousin. All right. Steve?
Yeah.
You're 23. What's up?
By the way, we would not have had that whole discussion about she wasn't ready to have sex, but then she went ahead with this guy.
If she was raped.
If she had been raped. You know?
Right. Steve?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm 23 years old. I've been smoking pot since I was 8.
Wow.
And I can't stop.
That's right. Marijuana is a highly addictive drug for some people.
Well, you're really getting high at age 8?
Yeah, my sister started me out. I got beat up by my father really bad one time. And she took me out back behind the trailer, and she handed me a bowl, and she said, here, smoke this. Maybe this will take some of the pain away.
And she's right. That is, in fact, what people who become marijuana addicted often develop their relationship with marijuana around, is trying to dissociate from pain of various types, not necessarily physical pain of abuse, but the emotional pain of abuse.
Right.
And so there you go. If you've ever heard Robert Downey Jr.'s story, he started when he was about 8, and you see how far it can go and how difficult it can be to stop. You have to be treated. It will not get better by itself.
As they say, out the gate by 8, in the spoon by noon.
Mm.
Back again by 10.
Yeah. I think he's talking about heroin there, right?
Well, but he worked his way on over.
I never touched that stuff.
Well, he started with pot, though.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
You know your buddy with the tuberculosis in the background? How about you throw his ass out of the room so we can have a normal conversation?
All right.
Jesus.
Hey, man.
Oh, Jesus. Is every goddamn call turned into some kind of Cheech and Chong skit on this show?
I want to hear him get the guy out. It sounds like they're in a car together. Wait. Yeah. Steve?
Yeah.
Where are you guys? In a van together?
No, we're in the room at the house. He's listening. He thinks it's kind of cool I got on Loveline. But
oh, he was on the phone?
No, but do you have to cough into the phone?
No, he's just standing right next to me.
Just coughing into your ear?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, he smokes a lot of pot.
He's being an ass.
Okay.
One of the great medical complications of marijuana is chronic bronchitis.
Well, that's not him. That's his buddy. His great medical complication is hanging around with hashers. Steve needs to go to MA, right?
Yes.
All right. Here, I don't know if people know this or not, but I have almost no tolerance for stuff going on in the background when I'm talking.
I don't know how anyone that listens to this show could ever get that idea.
It's my fault for never bringing it up.
Okay. Shocking.
Here's what ends up happening, people. Whether it's your smoke detector that needs a new battery, the TV that's too loud, my own nasally drone coming back to me with an 8-second delay, or your Hesher buddy hacking up a storm in the background. What I end up doing is fixating on that and missing the call part because I'm trying to figure out what it is I'm hearing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I got that personality disorder. What do you call that, Drew?
Well, it's sort of ADD.
Thank you. But you call it something that sounds more flattering than ADD. Hypervigilance.
Mm-hmm.
You idiot. You gave me the title. You don't even know it.
It's not a disorder. It's just describing what you're doing.
No, it's a disorder.
Hypervigilance is just describing. It's a description. It's not a diagnosis.
Yeah, but if you're hypervigilant all the time, isn't that a disorder?
50 different disorders can cause that. Hypervigilance, it's like saying I'm anxious. Same idea. All kinds of things can cause anxiety.
Right. Well, what's causing my hypervigilance?
Well, I think
my hypervigilance causes my hypervigilance.
And I think that came from an attachment disorder early on, and you have a sort of an ADD-like syndrome around that.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? You can't do anything with my ADD, can you? But I don't really have ADD.
You know, probably not diagnosably, but I think it's that kind of biology.
Yeah. But to me, it's like I have superpowers, like Spider-Man. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, to me, it's a bad thing.
No. Listen, please, you'd be nothing without my hypervigilance. Eldon?
Yes.
All right, you've called back. We got a new line for you, right?
Right.
You're 25. What's up?
Okay. We started dating, and her mom and them didn't really
know. Hang on one second, Eldon. One second.
Can't focus.
Adam's head will explode.
TV is going in the background.
Oh, okay, let me...
Ninth call in a row.
Go ahead and get that. Anderson, ninth call in a row. Something's going on?
We haven't had one clean one.
Okay. Listen, Brian. Phone screen of Brian. Here's the deal.
It's a full moon.
Yeah, I know. You tell these people if I hear a cricket fart in the background, I will hang up on them. Do you understand that? Pound them over the head with it.
I heard him explain it to every single one of them.
Did he?
Yes.
Yeah.
With hypervigilance, he did.
Thank you. Okay. Jennifer.
Hello.
Okay. All right.
Hello.
Just quiet down. Now I'm amused. You're so lucky, Jennifer. We just turned the corner with you because now I look forward to it. Now I'm going to be disappointed if I don't hear some jack-offs cackling in the background.
Oh, my God. My situations are so much different than everybody that you've just had on.
Oh, I bet we'll find some similarities.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Go ahead.
Oh.
I'm 24 years old. I've got a great job.
Hot, hot, hot.
And I've left my husband 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what the heck do I do to find somebody that doesn't... I don't have to have live off me. That's my question.
What, you don't want a guy who's going to leech off you financially?
Yeah.
Because your job is so good.
Well, yeah. My job's very good. I'm very stable in my job.
But you're not making... you're living in Riverside. You can't be doing very good.
I actually didn't live in Riverside for a very long time, but now I do only because my job's there.
Worse.
Yeah.
Worse. All right. So what do you make? 40 grand a year?
Okay.
38 grand a year?
With some kids to take care of.
No, I have no children.
Okay.
Oh.
No.
If 38 grand a year, what do you make?
Well, let's see. I make, I'd say about 40.
Okay.
I make good money.
Let's just say yes, then, if I say 40 the first time.
Okay, that's fine.
Do you make 40 grand a year, Jennifer?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
No, I don't make that much. Of course not.
Oh, you make 30 grand a year.
Actually, I don't know, you know, yearly. I've never put it out to that
yeah,
much
Jennifer,
money.
Hold on. I'm going to marry this woman.
Jennifer, you went on to
I'm
say how...
I'm
going to
quit my job, and I'm moving to Riverside.
Money. I've been in my job for 2.5 years.
All right, buddy.
I just got a good raise. I just left my husband.
Okay.
And
how do you find a guy? You don't know. I know. I know what you're saying, because you don't know if a guy is after you or your 28 grand a year.
Yeah, because I took care of my husband for 2.5 years, and I'm like, now I realize, now that I make the money and I'm on my own, my God, I can take care of myself. I can take care of other people. I can take care of everything.
Yeah, you could support a third world nation. I mean, the economy with that kind of bread you're bringing in.
Oh, you're spreading it a little thin there.
Well, okay, maybe I'm exaggerating, but I mean, this is some pretty healthy cash here. I mean, 28 grand a year, that's like, $2,500. I mean, you know, before taxes, but you know, it's like $2,500 a month, Drew. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, you're doing good for yourself.
Uh-huh.
You just find a regular guy who's got a job. All he has to do is have a job, and he'll make more than 28 grand a year. It'll be perfect.
But I'm 24 years old, and I've been with somebody for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
How I don't get out there. I would say I'm 5'4", I'm 115,
mm-hmm.
I'm not bad looking.
Right.
I can't meet people. I don't get out there, and I cannot meet people. Well, I'm working
can your
all
friends,
the time.
Can your friends set you up for some dinners or something? Just.
Oh, yeah, everybody's married.
I know,
they have
other friends, maybe?
They're married.
Everyone's friends are married.
Pretty much.
No one knows any single males.
24?
Nobody, you're cute, you got a good job, you don't have any kids.
Don't meet anybody at work.
Isn't that sad?
Very sad.
It is sad, I know.
Maybe we should send a guy. Anderson, get out there and effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's him running the other way.
Yeah, Jennifer, I suspect...
I don't know, just go to a Red Onion or something. Do they have those places?
Here's the reality. The reality is... She had an alcoholic dad or something. She needs a deadbeat guy. She found a deadbeat guy. It burned her out. Now all guys are crap. No one's going to be right. No one feels good. She's not interested, not motivated. It's all sort of been spoiled now.
Mm-hmm.
Because in reality, if she's going to have a relationship, she's had to come to terms with the fact that it's got to be a real person who's actually available, who has a job and is not an alcoholic, and not somebody that she can be codependent on and care for. Spoils the whole thing for her, so she's not motivated now.
Well, like I said,
Was he a deadbeat?
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
The husband was?
I picture is, 28 grand a year? All right, hold on one more second. Jennifer?
He had so many jobs in 4 years, I don't think I can count on four hands.
Who's, hey, Jennifer?
Yeah?
You got a kid in the background there?
Yes, that's actually my best friend's kid.
Okay. All right, thank you. Here's what I love about this show, and maybe I should just go home because I'm clearly in no condition to do the show.
You're jaded.
Tonight.
You're jaded.
I'm horrible tonight. I was in a horrible mood when I got here. But here's what I always find interesting about human beings in general. She's giving her list of qualifications. We're hearing a 2-year-old screaming in the background.
He said, "I have a kid."
And Mo or Drew or me says, "Well, you got a kid," and she says, "No, I don't." But there's no part in her brain that says, "Oh, that's my friend's kid." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no part in her brain that hears this toddler screaming in the background makes the connection between us hearing that and saying you have a kid.
Yeah.
She's just sticking with the facts, man. No kid? No kid. Doesn't matter if there's 8 of them running around hitting her with a bataka bat over the head. She has no kids. She has no kids. There's no unnecessary to explain the noise of the kid who's in the same room she's in. You know what I mean? Like, imagine if you were in a kid. Forget, let's replace kid with lion.
Yeah.
I heard a lion roar and said, "Do you have a lion?" "No, I don't." But wouldn't you feel compelled to say, "I'm just house-sitting this lion"?
How do you get
lion?
To sleep at night? I mean, do you sleep in, like, an oxygen tank or something?
He doesn't sleep.
No.
You don't
Why?
Sleep, do
Why?
You?
I just
sleep. Well, just because I would think the sounds...
I got the sound machine.
He has the sound machine. It sounds like water's going on.
Sensory deprivation tank.
No, I don't need to have control of them. I just have to not hear them. It's not a control thing. You think it is?
I think it's a little bit of that, yeah.
All right.
Mo just feels like that because it's such a pain in the ass to leave now.
That's true, but Drew, is it control with me? That's not control.
No, it just feels like it is truly intrusive and a pain in the ass, but no, it's not.
Thank you. All right, we'll take a break. Well, Collins here from Mad TV. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Mo Collins is our guest. She is from Mad TV. 11 o'clock on Fox, Saturday nights, and going into its eighth season. Let's get back and talk to Steve, who's 19. Steve?
How you guys doing?
Good.
All right, question. I've had a girlfriend for over a year, and we're sexually together, and I think she's giving me an STD.
What makes you think that?
Well, I mean, I've heard the cases where when you pee, it burns a little bit. But I've also have something like on the inner part of my thigh where it's kind of like a stretch mark, but it's red. But I also have it on the, like, it's starting to come in, like, in the back of my armpits.
That's just fungus, probably.
It is?
Plain old Canada or something.
What does
like
the
that.
Stretch mark look like? It's underneath the skin?
Yeah.
True. You know that thing where you get that blood streaking sometimes and underneath the skin? That's sort of streaky looking. What do they call that? They always call it like blood poisoning or something,
yeah,
but it's something else.
Lymphangitis, but that's not in that region.
Oh, it doesn't happen
like
down there?
Mm-mm. Not like that.
So what should he do?
It sounds like you just have a plain old can. Are you a heavy guy?
6'5", 300 pounds.
Yeah, that would qualify, I'd say.
That's about medium build. Yeah. Medium build.
And so those moist folds are areas that...
Average guy, 6'5", 6'6".
Yeast could set up.
3, 320, right?
The pain with the urination can just be urethritis. It may or may not be an STD. You got to get it checked out. It could be something like chlamydia that she's had for a long time and not known about it. So you don't jump to the conclusion that she is cheating. It doesn't necessarily mean that.
What do you do with your tremendous girth, Steve? You a bouncer? You a football player?
Play baseball.
Baseball?
Oh.
Yeah.
6'5", 300 pounds, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Where do you play baseball?
I don't know if I should say the school. It's okay. North Carolina.
You play collegiate baseball?
Yeah, NCAA.
Wow.
Must be the biggest guy on the team by far.
Oh, I guess.
You guess? Okay.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. What's your...
Why so modest?
What's your defensive position?
Catcher, third base.
Catcher.
Shocking.
Catcher.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, good times there, buddy.
All right.
Yeah. Get it checked out.
Yeah. Geez, that is a load behind the plate.
Yeah. That's got to start happening, right?
Baseball players are getting much bigger. And they've been holding off on getting bigger for quite some time, but they've made their move over the last year or so.
They're all taking steroids now.
I think McGuire sort of got that ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
But I was at the Dodger training camp a couple of months ago, and they're getting much bigger.
Sean Green, 4 home runs tonight.
Incredible.
Mm. Wow.
Baseball players are probably about the size now that football players were.
In the 20s.
I was going to say the teens. No, probably about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
They're starting to get big.
30 years ago was 1972.
I know, but if you look at football from 1972, you'll see a lot of guys that are, you know, those guys we talked about, the Ted Hendricks types and these sort of Fred Dreyers of the world,
George
Jack
Blandis.
Youngbloods, George Blandis, yeah. Chris?
Hey, how you guys doing?
You're 22. What's up?
First off, I just want to say really love your show, and you guys do a lot of good for a lot of people.
Thanks.
My question is for Dr. Drew. I've been diagnosed with degenerative facet disease.
Mm-hmm. What is that, Drew?
It's just back pain, basically. It's arthritis. I can show you my picture.
No, I don't want to see it.
These facets hold your spine together.
Facet?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess from... I had a car accident about 3 years ago.
Did you start taking Vicodin right then?
Yeah.
Well, that's where your pain's coming from. You get off the Vicodin for 6 months, and your pain will magically go away.
I've actually gotten off of it for about 10 months when I went and I studied abroad.
All you're off everything. Pot, alcohol.
Yeah, I don't drink or smoke pot.
No opiates, no muscle relaxants, no nothing.
I was on nothing while I was abroad, and the pain actually got so bad I had to come back early.
How do you like them apples, wise ass Drew?
No, but it's a real thing. That's really
right.
But anyway, my question is, I have a family history on my father's side of serious addiction.
Yeah.
I've had an uncle overdose on heroin. Everybody's addicted to something or other, probably the least of which is my father, who's just cigarettes.
All right, so you want to know what to do?
Right. I want to know what to do because it's getting worse. I've gone and they've done epidurals in my spine to numb it and things like that. And
all right, quiet down.
It just doesn't fit for me that he wasn't taking anything during that 10 months.
It doesn't fit for you that you were wrong.
He's not doing anything. He's not working. I mean, if he's going to become.
That doesn't fit.
Well, he didn't ask his question yet.
Well, we got to go to break.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
back to him.
He wants a way to relieve the pain, but he doesn't want to become addicted to something.
No, it says he's going to start methadone.
Oh, he is.
And so we got
to
talk about
it. Well, that is a way to relieve the pain,
right,
but he's scared about it. All right, Drew, force these guys to get to their questions.
Yeah.
Let's stop reading the board. I consider that cheating.
Well, most of the time the board doesn't tell us anything. So,
well, you knew something about methadone.
Yeah.
Mo Collins is our guest tonight. Mad TV. We'll take
a
quick
break. Don't get me wrong. It's a good thing the board doesn't reveal what's really in the call. You know, maybe we want to find it out.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want to be cheating.
All right.
It does feel like cheating when you know the stuff.
No, it's not.
Well, this isn't. I want to get to the methadone question because that's the core of the question.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Mo Collins is our guest tonight for Mad TV, 11 o'clock, Saturday nights, Fox, of course. And let's slide on back to the phones and speak to Chris. Chris?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
No.
Was this the guy we were talking
about? Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so Chris, you have chronic back pain from a facet disease, arthropathy, something.
Right.
And they don't know what it's due to except this injury you had in a car accident, right?
Right. It's from the car accident. And one thing I didn't mention before is before I'd gone off it for that 10 months, I began to abuse it.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty depressed because I had lost a football scholarship because of the accident. And so I began to abuse it. And that's when I kind of just said to myself, I need to get off this stuff. And I went abroad, and I did. And when I came back, because of the back pain, I went back on the same medication, but I didn't abuse it anymore.
All I know is that all my opiate-addicted patients have back pain.
Right.
And when they are not in treatment and not actively engaged in treatment, the pain magically seems to resurface.
Right. I had a disc fusion on my back. I had a back surgery.
Most of my patients have had at least one or two surgeries.
Okay.
And if they're not in, when they're off the opiates, usually the pain goes away, but sometimes it doesn't. Unless they're actively engaged in the treatment process. Because in addition to the pain reward mechanism that the opiates induce, that the Vicodin started, depression starts getting manifested as back pain now, too.
Right. And I'm in a pain management right now. I'm not just in a normal doctor.
I understand that. But I every day I'm having to deal with the consequences of people getting into pain management who have addiction.
What do you do? What about methadone?
If you get on methadone,
like a disaster.
Well, you're going to be on it the rest of your life.
Right, and that's just what I'm worried about now. I'm about to graduate college, and from the UC, and it seems right now everything's going pretty good, but I guess I'm building up sort of an immunity to the medication, and
you're on methadone now?
No, I'm still on Norco right now.
Yeah, it's fine.
But because it's not working as well, they want to push me to something longer.
I would think you would at least be evaluated by an addiction specialist and give a crack at truly dealing with the addiction process before you committed yourself to lifelong methadone. I see all kinds of problems with methadone. Forget the addiction process. Just people that are on it chronically. I've seen, bleeding from the bladder and interstitial cystitis and hair loss and weight loss and
fatigue.
But I mean,
it's a lifetime commitment.
Absolutely, it's a chronic addiction, chronic dependency on that drug.
What about nerve blocks and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, what about like an injection?
He had that.
Once?
He did.
Yeah. You get the injection once a month or whatever, and still doesn't do it.
Epidurals. He had them.
All right. Oh, that's what the epidural is.
Mm.
They're bad times, though,
bad
right?
Times, yeah.
All right. Listen, Chris sounded like a pretty good guy.
I know.
And I hope it works out, but Drew, you're not casting your vote for methadone.
Not until he's had a crack, a really careful evaluation from an addiction standpoint.
Eldon?
Yes.
You're 25?
Right.
What's up?
Okay. Me and my fiance started dating when, she was 16. And, her parents at the time thought I was only 19. And then here recently, she told me that her conscience was eating at her or something, and she called her mom while she was at work and told her. Her mom flipped, as usual. That was expected.
Told her what?
Over the fact that I was 25 and not 19.
Okay.
And, I mean, and now her mom's saying, I mean, because I didn't finish high school. I am right now in the process of getting my GED. And she told me that until I get my GED, I cannot see her daughter, which is my fiance. And I was wondering how I would go.
Hold on a second, Drew.
Either.
When do you kill yourself? I mean, when you have that conversation with your daughter. Listen, you get your GED. You ain't going to be seeing my 16-year-old daughter. I just pray to Christ I never have to have that conversation with a 25-year-old guy. You're talking to a 25-year-old guy. It's like, okay, here's the guidelines. GED equals my daughter. Okay, now, she's still in the 10th grade, so she got her whole life ahead of her. Oh, God. Does a GED, isn't a GED worse than not graduating high school? I mean, when you're looking at an application and you see GED on it, when I see a guy didn't graduate.
Not unless it was completed at 11, the GED.
Right, right. I hear all these stories about these great musicians, great artists, and sometimes great businessmen who never graduated high school. When I see didn't graduate high school, I sometimes romanticize
genius.
It. I think the
yeah.
guy couldn't be held back by the confines of the man's, you know, gilded cage, and he went off to do it. If I see GED, I see, this guy's worse than not graduating. Am I right?
Yep.
Okay. But, I mean, if you're trying to join the Army or something, maybe.
You need it.
Eldon?
Yes.
What do you need that GED for?
Well, actually, just like he said, I was actually planning on joining the Army.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go.
Well, then you need that GED. You got to get that GED, buddy.
All right, so what's your
like
question?
I said.
What is the question for us?
Just like I said, how would I go about other than getting my GED?
I'm gonna read the screen here, which is something I don't normally do, and say, is she's pregnant, your fiancé?
Right. She's 5 months pregnant.
Oh, no wonder she wanted to tell her mom.
Good times.
Now, what can you do other than get a GED?
Right.
Why not just get the GED?
You mean to satisfy her mom?
Right. I know getting the GED will satisfy her mom.
It will. And it will satisify the Army, so you're all set.
I do plan on getting my GED here very soon.
Just not right now. Got some other plans first.
No, actually, I'm getting it very soon.
Can't you get it over the internet, like tomorrow something?
What is the question for us?
Well, that's basically it, and, I mean...
Why am I not hearing a question?
How long does it take to get a GED these days?
It really depends on how far you went in school.
I see. And how far did you get? Second base?
I actually got up to 3 months before graduation.
Oh.
Which kind of...
Okay, so for you...
Really, on my part, really pathetic.
All right, so but for you, the GED isn't too big of a deal then, is it?
No, it wouldn't be.
And when's the soonest date you can take it?
Monday.
Oh, yeah, that's the twist, because you need... To get it done this weekend, or... Right, hold on a second. Let me talk to my partner's here. His problem is the mother of his fiance wants him to get a GED before they get together or get married or whatever.
The Army wants
the
to get
Army
a GED.
Needs him to get the GED.
Does pregnancy.
But it is contingent upon how far you did actually get into high school. Luckily, he got into April of his senior year, and the test cannot be taken until Monday. So the question is...
Regardless of all of that.
Yeah, but I'm still not sure what his question is. What is his question?
I have no idea. Or what the problem is.
Eldon?
Yeah.
What is your question?
Well, just what I said. What other than getting my GED could I do to satisfy the mother, but that seems like that's the only thing.
Maybe this is a syntax problem. Do you mean in addition to taking the GED, what else might make her happy?
Let's
put it this way. Eldon,
mm-hmm.
Let's do this. This helps. Normally, if I was with you, I would ask you to make things out of clay, and then I would interpret it. But since you're not here and we can't do the finger painting on the clay, let's replace GED with driver's license. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And we're clear on that, right? We're going to replace GED with driver's license.
Right.
So now we'll only talk about driver's license.
Okay.
The mother wants you to get your driver's license before you see the daughter.
Right.
And you're going to get your driver's license Monday.
Right.
What else can you do before Monday to get your driver's license? Is that what you're asking?
I guess in a sense, yeah.
Flowers?
Well, if you have a learner's permit, you can drive with an adult over 18, but not at night.
Get a good night's sleep both Friday and Saturday and Sunday night.
And then in a short 3 or 4 days from now, you'll have your driver's license, and
everyone
will be one big happy family.
Everyone will be happy.
Right.
And I don't know. I know we may have to dedicate the rest of the night to this call. I can't get over it. You're talking about this Monday?
Right.
You're going to take it on, is it Labor Day this Monday?
Memorial Day.
You're going to take it on Memorial Day?
I forgot about Memorial Day.
Oh, now we're screwed.
You just got the first question wrong. That was the first question on GED. Anyone who shows up on Memorial Day has to go home.
Right, I forgot about Memorial
Day. So you take it on Tuesday then, right?
Tuesday.
Yeah, and then that's fine. You show that to the mother, right?
And then you're done.
So what
do you need from us?
Why do you want to do something else? You just wait 4 or 5 days, and then you have what you need, right?
Right. But, I mean, I was hoping to be able to see her sooner because, I mean, like I said, we were going to have a baby together and everything. And
sooner is tomorrow or Saturday or Sunday, right?
Right.
You can't survive those 3 days?
Well, I suppose, yeah.
Meanwhile, you're going off to the Army.
Right.
And you may be shipped off for many months.
Right. But she'll be on the base with me, though.
Not necessarily.
When I'm on the base, she'll be on it with me.
Yeah, but many times you'll be shipped off for months.
So you may be in Iraq.
Well, I hope not. But if I am, then I am.
Okay, buddy. Listen, I like Eldon's... I like Eldon. I know I was going to say style, but I'm not sure... What the hell is he talking about? Oh, my God. You people, this is... Next time you get in an airplane, look down. This is what you're flying over. You understand? Maybe you just keep going to Canada, huh? You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Hooey.
He really did want to know what was going on. He wanted to see her on Saturday.
Tonight.
That's a big barbecue weekend.
Oh, they're gonna make a lovely couple.
think of those children, yeah.
You know what? I'd like to have a kid just so I can schedule a playtime.
With your kids?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that would be a delight. Oh, my God. Drew, seriously. When she gives birth to this kid, in order to give the kid a fighting chance...
They're going to airlift it out.
No. They should put the kid in one of those water balloon launchers that you use at the beach that's made out of surgical tubing.
Yes, yes.
And just fire it toward Mecca.
Yeah. Oh, any direction.
Give the kid a chance.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Eldon still sound like a nice guy, but wow. Michelle?
Hi.
You're 22?
Maybe English wasn't his first language.
I'm 22. I'm sorry.
I think English was his language. Yeah. Go ahead, Michelle.
I have a question, and it's kind of embarrassing to say, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
All right.
I have a bad odor down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a very, very hygienic person, but I can't seem to get rid of it.
Hmm. Kegels. Right, Mo?
Kegels.
Have you been seen to had a pelvic exam to make sure there's not an infection down there?
Oh, yeah, I've had my regular paps and everything, but...
How long ago was that?
6 months ago.
Did you discuss the smell then?
Yeah, and she said that, you know, it's just a normal smell.
That's just you. Okay.
True. What about... I mean, it stands to reason...
Though.
I know, but everyone's got their own thing going on.
Right.
I mean, there's certain people that have body odor that's just kind of their own body odor, and everybody needs an answer. Like, oh, this guy doesn't shower. What are you doing, eating curry or something? But we all know people got a little funk going on.
Sure.
And if you can have a little funk on your armpit, you sure as hell can have between your legs. Mm. And if you got a little extra of your own funk, that just might be your own thing.
Mm.
I mean, well, maybe it's not an infection is what I'm saying.
I don't think it's an infection, but I thought that maybe there's like some remedy that I could do.
Well, what would they say? Cotton underwear, very occasional douching.
Well, see, I don't douche, and I heard that was really bad for you.
It's not necessarily good for you. That's why I certainly wouldn't do it regularly.
Compressed air.
You could try this Metrogel cream, which is something that clears out some of the bacteria that your doctor could try. It might help you. But beyond that, that's about it.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah, I do. And you know what I was going to ask
How's
you
he
about?
Doing? How's he doing with that?
Well, I've been with him for 3 years, and I mean, he hasn't complained, but I get, like, anxiety when he goes down there, so
That may be you. I mean, he's been down there for 3 years.
He's fine.
He's into that. That's fine. That's love.
I think it's the pants they're making for women these days.
Mm.
What's going on? What's going on with these pants?
Yeah.
So it's these tight polyesters and things, these mm-hmm. fibers that are not natural, and, you know, I
can't breathe.
They don't breathe, and it does make a difference.
Oh no, absolutely, because when I used to work with the El Salvadorian guys who'd wear the polyester shirts when I was doing construction, they'd be doing labor.
Oh,
these guys had a funk going like nobody's business. I mean, it's crazy. Like they would, them and tile guys. Tile guys are all from the Middle East, and they wear like they have two types of shoes. They have dress loafers and work loafers. They wear like tasseled loafers and no socks and like polyester slacks and guys from other. Let me explain something about the rest of the world. The concept of work clothes doesn't really exist.
Right.
They have clothes.
And that's
like,
it.
Yeah, they have clothes, and then they have dirty clothes that they wear to work.
Yeah.
But you look at these other parts of the country, and their guys are, like, stacking bricks, but they're wearing blazers.
Right.
But they're, like, kind of dirty blazers, but they're wearing blazers.
Yeah.
That whole idea of tank top or cotton T-shirt and baggy cargo shorts and, you know, boots with the arch support and the steel shank, that doesn't exist. It's like, I got a crappy pair of loafers, I wear it to work, and I got a crappy pair of polyester slacks. These guys are dressed like Tony Manero from Saturday Night Fever, like 1977. They just got all the crap from the thrift store. Smell to high hell. Smell to hell. That polyester just works up a funk. And I could imagine what would work up downstairs, well, especially after a little dancing.
Are you wearing G-strings?
Where the hell is she? What is that? Does that make a difference? Make a difference?
Better or worse?
It's worse.
G-strings worse?
Well, of course it is. It's something that's riding right up inside things. You know, it's not like a nice pair of cotton briefs that are laying on the outside. You got a string riding up your crack.
Yeah, but that's up the crack, right?
Well, it's going to gather a little bit more moss, if you will.
I just wear them like once a week, like on the weekends when I go out. But on a daily basis.
I was angry about this, apparently.
Yeah, I'm
ready. You've gotten some complaints in the past?
Well, the pants that they make.
How about this? Should I wear underwear when I sleep? Because I do. And that's because I discharge a lot.
Hmm.
Oh.
I don't want to get it on my pajamas.
Are you on the birth control pill or anything?
I was, but I just got I got off it like a year ago.
Okay. And that didn't change anything?
No, but you know what? That's when I started seeing all this stuff happen.
When I got off it. When you got off it?
Yeah.
How long had you been on it for?
I was on it for like 3 years. I got off it just because I was getting so much weight.
Gaining weight.
Yeah.
All right. Look, I'm getting back to the boyfriend. I agree. Cotton panties. Don't wear the tight hip huggers with the made of Lycra and this and that. On the other hand, your boyfriend's been around there for 3 years. Not a complaint out of him. Right?
Mm.
Maybe she's overreacting a little.
Obsessed, yeah.
The gynecologist told her no big deal. Boyfriend says
really,
no big deal.
We get paranoid of that.
Mm-hmm,
we
mm-hmm.
get very paranoid of that.
Yeah. Guys, we're the opposite. We're breaking wind and stinking up the place, and we don't care.
Great pride in it.
Jimmy farted up the office all day. All day laughing, waving people over to his desk. No shame. No shame at all. Vance?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, here's my question. I went to the doctors because I had a bad cough and my throat was really sore. And we're sitting there and he's checking up on my chest with this stethoscope. And he looks at me and he asked me if I smoked and I said yeah. And he said that he could tell by listening to my chest and he said it was a bad sign. And he ran some tests and he put a, he had me cough in this little vial and he sent it away, and he scheduled me for a, or he told me to go schedule an appointment with a specialist or something. My mom took care of that, to go take some tests tomorrow, and I'm wondering if it, if it's lung cancer, what?
Who said lung cancer?
Well, he, he's seen the commercials.
Who said lung cancer?
My doctor hinted to it.
No, he did not say lung cancer.
He hinted.
He told you, yeah, I can tell when people smoke a lot too, and even when they're young like you, it, you damage your lung. You can hear it.
What
lung
do you,
cancer, it takes you a good 30 pack years to get that.
What are you smoking? Cigarettes?
Yeah.
How long have you been smoking cigarettes?
About 7 years now.
There's certainly a number of other things you can get. You can certainly have infections and tuberculosis.
Start smoking at 10.
I had a patient who's now 90 started at 8.
No, it can't be alive. True, 400,000 Americans died from a smoking-related illnesses last year. I just heard it on
so
TV.
She must be dead.
She must be dead. 500,000?
Remember this one? Is this the one that her mother started her smoking because she lived in Central America and it was to curb their hunger?
They had no they wouldn't eat so much.
Yeah. No, they had no food, so it was to help keep the suffering of the kids.
Yeah, that's good times. That's still a lot. 500,000 smoking-related deaths each year, Drew. You see,
well,
how many?
Every heart attack, every stroke, every lung cancer.
How many people do you see from smoking-related illnesses in your practice each year?
First, smoking is the... I mean, they're the smoker, not secondhand smoke?
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Right.
Yeah.
500,000?
Yeah.
Nationally? That's a little high.
Yeah.
All right. Vans?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got the big C, buddy.
No, you don't, it's unlikely you have that, but you certainly can lots of other good stuff from smoking and or have infections and tuberculosis, all kinds of stuff you can get. Many different lung diseases can present like you're describing, so let them figure it out, and I'm sure it'll be treatable. But go ahead and stop smoking. They're trying to make a point to you.
Well, I can't yet. I'm not allowed to, actually.
Not allowed to stop smoking?
I'm involved in AA, and my sponsor told me not to worry about it yet.
Well...
The
difference between don't worry about it and don't stop. Go ahead and stop. In fact, the prevailing wisdom by the American Society of Addiction Medicine is that nicotine addiction should be dealt with at the same time as all the other addictions.
Anyways, you don't want to piss off the sponsor.
I just tell the sponsor you get some advice to follow your doctor's advice, too, which is all part of being in recovery, right?
Yeah.
You tell him you're smoking still, even when you quit.
I don't want to lie to him. That's the big no-no.
Yeah, well, that for sure.
I'm saying, yeah, because someone could squeal. Someone could squeal and tell me quit smoking, and then he could fly off the handle,
yeah,
right?
There's a lot of assignments that would go along with that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That'd be bad. Mm-hmm. That'd be bad, Drew.
Okay, hang with the Vance. You're going to be all right.
You don't want to betray somebody by quitting smoking, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay, buddy.
Thanks.
Take care of yourself.
I will.
All right.
Bye.
This is how people get in recovery. Sometimes they get strange thinking as a way of sort of trying to communicate undeveloped parts of themselves and the distress they're in. They start thinking, I must be dying, or I might have a brain tumor. And it's just those primitive parts of their brain that don't have other ways of expressing themselves. Yeah, they will. He will.
Well, the doctor shook his head and then said, cough into this vial and I'm going to send it away and you're going to talk to a specialist. And most people don't know of anything other than chest cold, and then there's cancer.
Oh, yeah.
So he just did the math.
Usual interstitial pneumonitis, coccidiomycosis, histoplasmosis.
Well, we all know that stuff.
Pneumonitis, sarcoidosis. There's a billion lung diseases.
All right. Still, 500,000 Americans die of smoking-related causes each year. Yeah, they got that figured out. We're going to take a quick break. Mo Collins is our guest tonight, and we'll be right back. Buddy, love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Mo Collins, our guest tonight from Mad TV. Fox, Saturday night, 11 o'clock. And I'll get my own plug. I'm going to be on Kilborn tonight. Whenever that's right. On, 12:30 or something
just
like that.
Just you and Jimmy?
Just me tonight.
Okay.
And I think I'm first up, so I'll probably be on, 12:45 or something like that.
Good times.
Good times. Drew, you can tell me all about it when I see you on... wait a minute, Drew. I'm coming over to the house on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
They're counting on it.
Your goofy friend's going to be there with their psychic buddies?
Oh, I don't think so. There'll be a lot of people there, but not...
There will be?
I think.
Okay. Good. Going to call the cops over because the chipmunk farted up in the hills?
I will just entertain you and the police, too. They got a kick out of that.
Kid lights a firecracker up off in the distance. Drew calls the cops.
Oh.
Last time we're there. Was that you that actually called the cops?
I don't actually remember. I remember
I was mad at you. So
I remember multiple people sitting around going, "That was a 48. I know that. I know the sound of that kind of gun. They're describing what kind of gun it's like. Well, we got to call the police. Then if you're sure that's a gun.
Oh, Drew called the cops.
I don't remember if I. I don't think I called though, because I really don't remember.
But I remember making fun of you.
Oh yeah.
So that meant
I went out and met them. I went out and met them.
The fuzz.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was holding, so I didn't want to go out there. I had a dime bag in my sock. Jim.
Hey.
You're 33.
Yeah.
What's up?
I gotta talk to Mo.
Oh,
I tell you, you make me feel like a complete geek because I have not had a crush on any TV personality since Greatest American Hero went off the air.
Wow.
you like that blonde guy?
There you go. Yeah, William Catt. Yeah, beautiful man. No, I tell you, Mo, you're about the cutest thing on that show. And
thank you.
Just about any other show I can think of. Trina, I love Trina.
She's a freak.
Yeah. And I don't know who you patterned it after, but that...
my dental hygienist from childhood.
Wow.
No, not Trina. I mean, she's something else. Anyway, but the one that really gets me going is that generic network lackey bitch that you do.
Ah, Liz Whitman Goldfarb.
There you go. Thank you.
Yes.
Do a little bit of her.
That's a lot of late night stuff we really can't get into here without the bleeps.
You're revving me up there. I tell you, it's just so weird because as a 33-year-old professional, and here I am, every single Saturday night I tune in just for you.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks for saying that.
Then he gets on the internet and beats off the kiddie porn.
Oh, hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Huh. Will you say that again?
Then you get on the internet and beat off to kiddie porn.
And then tomorrow you get to go to the unemployment line when Jimmy kicks you out.
Yeah.
What are you going to do when he leaves, man?
Well, we got another show that's coming on the air June 2nd. I'm glad you brought this up, Jim. It's called Crank Yankers.
Adam, I absolutely love you.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
You were absolutely beautiful. There are times I nearly wrecked my car driving listening to you.
God bless you. Right out of the doghouse and right back in the captain's chair with that line, Jim. Hi there, buddy boy. Are you married?
No.
Shocking. All right, buddy.
Star Trek.
All right, you guys take
care. Wait a minute. I got to dig just a little in. You're a professional guy, right?
Architect.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you. We could talk. We could talk about grade beams. We could talk about glue lamb beams.
Yeah.
We could talk about HDs, Simpson straps.
We could
talk a lot. Yeah. What kind of architecture you do?
Mostly residential. I do. I did last month one hotel in.
Is you're calling from San Jose? So it's crazy with all the crazy earthquake codes over there.
It's. It's California. It's insane.
All right. Yeah. It's absolutely insane to try to build anything now. It must be built like a bunker.
That's nice. Uh-huh. Well, we were talking about Jim last night, weren't we, on the way home, how the Simpsons have sort of nailed the Jim character.
Yeah. Jim's got a good sense of humor. But I feel sorry for Jim because he's home every Saturday night. He should be TiVoing Mad TV and then out having sex with strangers.
Mm.
Got to get him out of the house. All right. Mark?
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. I want to say, first of all, that I appreciate the fact that both of you are Love and Death fans.
Mm.
That's one of my favorite movies, too.
Oh, good. Woody Allen, early Woody Allen
movie,
if everyone wants to know what we're talking about. And that's how Drew and I initially fell in love. Because
I love that movie.
Not met anybody else who loved Love and Death. And,
in fact, as I recall the conversation, you were shocked that I was as big a Woody Allen fan as you were.
Well, considering you have zero sense of humor.
That's right. And then you tossed out, well, what's your favorite film? Thinking I would say, what, Sleeper or something?
Yeah, I figured it'd be like Annie Hall or Sleeper.
Right.
And then it turns out it was Love and Death. And that's when we knew, like I said, that was game on, love affair wise with me and Drew.
Well, go
ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
That's a beautiful way to meet. I can't think of a better way to meet. I think it's important that someone affirm you, Adam, in your opinion that you do have the world's dumbest callers. I haven't heard a caller say this, but I think it needs to be said. You're definitely right in that.
Thanks. But Mark?
Yes.
You have a question yourself.
I do. I have one question and one point of contention for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
The question is on HPV. My girlfriend contracted it 6 years ago, and she had warts 6 years ago and hasn't had warts since, although I know the warts can be very small and not noticeable.
HPV is warts, everybody, wart virus, by the way.
Yeah.
You can have HPV without warts, so.
Right. So she still has the virus.
Yeah.
I assume, since this is something that stays with you.
Although there's some data that certain versions of the virus, certain subtypes, will remit, will spontaneously go away after about 5 years.
Well, my question is, assuming she has the virus, what are the chances of my catching it orally?
Doesn't seem to do that.
Yeah, it does. There's such a thing, but it is quite rare.
Still a good excuse not to get down there, though. I don't know if I'd tell it. Don't tape this call. Yeah, Drew, we have never, I don't believe, spoken to anyone who got the wart virus
on
their lips or face.
I think we had one time, but I've never seen it. It's, you know, given the fact that it's exceedingly common in environments like Los Angeles, you'd think we'd see some of this, and we don't.
But if you get it, you end up looking like the head of the leper colony from Pepillon.
Right. I want to hear what his point of contention was. No?
Okay. Oh, he had a
Yeah. Right. Wants to take issue with something.
Drew, your instincts are always right, though, when you keep people on hold for 68 minutes. And I always wonder how you know. Drew has a spidey sense for these sort of people that aren't filled with personality. Mark? Not you. Not talking about you.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Your bone of contention.
My point of contention is one of a psychopharmacological nature.
Uh-huh.
I wonder why you recommend, I mean, apart from the fact that it's FDA approved, Paxil for social phobia as opposed to any of the other SSRIs, given that Paxil, both anecdotally and in studies, seems
He's
to
reading.
Be
yeah, sorry.
The worst... out of the SSRIs, in terms of sexual side effects, in terms of weight gain,
because clinically that's not the case. It is bad that way. I'll tell you what the real problem with Paxil is that it's not as effective at anything other than the social phobia and some of the anxiety and panic. It has a withdrawal syndrome, which is miserable.
Yes.
And it has about the equivalent effect in terms of decreasing libido and erectile function and orgasmic function as about Zoloft. And Prozac is actually the one that has the most symptoms along these lines. The literature on this no way keeps up with the clinical impressions of people who use these medicines all the time. We're all just kind of waiting for the literature to catch up. If you remember when antidepressants first came out, the incidence of sexual side effects was the same as placebo.
Yes.
And it took about 15 years to catch up with that. And here we are now still waiting for it to be exceedingly common. And there's something wrong with the methodology that people were using in reporting this stuff.
So, what's he want you to do?
Nothing. I'm done.
I know, but he wants you to stop.
No, he just wants to talk.
Talking about Paxil?
No, he's okay.
You don't recommend Paxil that often, do you?
But I have when people have talked about social phobia and panic attacks.
Well, what should you recommend? You're with Paxil?
You can ask.
Anything better
Mark's
than Paxil?
Mark's going to say other SSRIs.
Mark, what do you want him to recommend from now on? I'll see that he does, even if it's dangerous.
Name
the one, please.
Celexa.
All right, I like Celexa. All right. Happily.
He'll trade Paxil for Celexa. All right?
Terrific.
Meanwhile, you go down on your girlfriend. Don't worry about the warts. And we'll see you at the next Star Trek convention, all right?
I don't like Star Trek, but...
All right. Well, Deep Space Nine or Space 1999 or whatever it is. Comic books?
No.
What are you into? What geeky thing are you into?
I'm a philosophy professor.
Ooh.
What kind of professor?
Philosophy. That's cool. What kind of philosophy?
My dissertation was in philosophy of language.
Interesting.
I do metaphysics, philosophy of religion, and epistemology as well.
All right. And you know my new theory, my new philosophy, as it were, that people that are sort of hyper-religious are mentally insane.
Yes. I was actually discussing this with someone the other night.
Mike, please don't tell me you're having academic springboarded academic discussions based
yes.
on things that Adam Carolla is saying on that radio.
Oh, Adam comes up quite a bit.
Philosopher warrior
among my
my circle of philosopher friend.
Wow. Thank you. I'm just cutting off because I've been on for too long and it's starting to sound like there's something flattering coming up. I'm in a bad mood.
I don't want to hear it.
But thank you, Mark. We appreciate your input and good times. Don?
Hey, what's up?
You're 16?
Yep.
You're repulsed by naked male bodies.
Yeah. Hey, first of all, can I say something?
No.
Do you have any choice?
No. No, you can't. We got to stick with your question.
All right, man. Whatever.
All right. So you're repulsed by naked male bodies.
Completely. And I'm really freaked out by it because I'll be, like, entirely attracted to somebody. And, like, I have movies and crap, you know, with nude guys all over them. And I don't want to look at them, you know, and stuff like that. Well, not literally all over them, but, you know.
Don, this is Don the lesbian?
No, man, I'm not a lesbian.
Don, there was a song. Well, there's Don Wells. She was in
Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island, and then there's Don Pardo. She's an announcer. How do you spell your name, Don?
D A W N.
No, wait a minute. Don
okay.
Pardo. What's he announce?
It's completely female, you know, spelled, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man, I'm so far from a lesbian, I mean.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a...
You mean you're so far from the nearest lesbian, or you're not a lesbian yourself?
I'm not a lesbian, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, so if I say something...
All right. She kind of sounds like Jodie Foster. Ooh.
You're a lesbian.
Okay, Drew, please. All right, so now why should you be repulsed by the naked male body?
That's what I don't understand, because I get so attracted to some guys, like actors and stuff. And, I can, like, completely fantasize myself with them and stuff like that, but I cannot, whatever I do.
I think that
anything,
this,
yeah,
should get over this.
You'll get over it? Any trauma? Any naked male figures come in your room when you were a kid or anything like that?
I've been through a lot of psychological crap.
Like what?
Well, I mean, I've been on like 20 different medications in the last year. And, I mean, I've been through a whole bunch of psychological...
Paxil. How about Paxil, Drew? Take Paxil.
Paxil, Zoloft, Wellbutrin, you know, Seroquel, Fluvoxamine, Depakote, Risperdal, Zyprexa.
Got it.
Yeah.
The usual menu.
Yeah, a bunch of them.
All right.
That's the menu for personality disorder and bipolar. Is that what we're dealing with here?
But it's not bipolar. Bipolar sucks.
Yeah, well, just because it sucks doesn't mean you don't have it.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think I have it just because, like...
I said so.
Yeah.
I said so.
I just ran out of steam on that one. But
you're a lesbian.
Hey, Don.
I'm not a lesbian.
Drew, stop that with the lesbian accusations. Did anything traumatic happen to you involving a naked male body?
I mean, I've been, like, taken advantage of by guys, but not when they were, like, nude. They've just, like, started grabbing me and, like...
No no molestation, anything like that growing up?
Not that I can remember. I mean, I think I would remember, you know?
Probably. Okay. Well, then I agree. I mean, look, if you have problems... mentally and emotionally, it's going to manifest itself in one way or another. And this might be one of the ways it manifests itself, right?
That's right. It could be a symptom, but I think it's something that will integrate. It will settle down.
All right, so you do what your psychiatrist says and do your medication and do your therapy, and this thing will kind of settle itself, hopefully, right?
Agreed.
Mo Collins, our guest tonight from Mad TV. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. Mo Collins is our guest tonight. Mo's from Mad TV, and that is on Saturday nights at 11 o'clock on Fox, going into its eighth year. All right. Drew, change your mind?
Yep.
Talk to Sarah, who's 19. Sarah?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's up?
A lot.
We start crying?
What?
You start crying just now?
No, actually. No? What? Okay, anyway. No, my problem is...
Well, what was that then? That
responding to internal stimuli. What's up? Go ahead.
It sounded to me like she's starting to cry.
Yeah. Put out the question there.
Okay. My question is this.
Whatever.
As if.
Whatever.
As if.
As if.
Yeah. All right, Barry. Go.
Here we go.
Okay, 2 weeks ago, a bunch of my friends, we went to Vegas, and we rented a limo, and we just had a great time. We got drunk and everything. But the thing is, though, that's 2 weeks ago, and I'm still, like, puking.
Any blood in the vomit?
No. It's just, and it's not, like, full puking. It's just random.
Any abdominal pain?
No, not really.
What were you drinking?
I don't need... Just beer.
Is it before? Does eating make things better, worse?
Huh?
Does eating make things worse?
Yeah.
Do you have any heartburn, anything like that?
Heart problems?
Heartburn?
No. That's just it. I don't have any symptoms, nothing. I feel completely normal.
It's easier
normal.
To talk to somebody who doesn't speak English.
Well, okay. I feel completely normal.
All right, listen. So here's the deal. Here's what can happen with alcohol. You can get pancreatitis, which can cause persistent vomiting that can be associated with abdominal pain typically. You can get gallbladder problems. You can get gastritis, which is an inflammation of the lining of the stomach, or esophagitis, lining of the esophagus. You can get ulcers. You get ulcers that obstruct the outlet to the stomach, so everything that goes in has to pop back out your mouth again. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that can happen here. I do suggest you check this out. And some of the time, this is associated with bleeding, and the bleeding can be quite dangerous sometimes.
She had 6 beers, and now this is it? How many beers did you have?
Well, I don't know. Enough to get me drunk.
Oh, okay. How come talking to Sarah reminds me of trying to put on my pants over boots? Yeah. You know, you think you can do it.
Yeah, but it can happen.
You would have been better off just taking the goddamn boots off.
Yeah.
Trying to pull, one gets stuck, you end up falling down, sitting on the edge of the bed, and you're bending over and you're trying to force it over. Is there a cadence problem with Sarah? Do you think, is she not here?
I don't know, but it wasn't working.
The phone, it started this way with our call with her. We were like off, thought she was crying and stuff, and then all the way through. Sarah?
Yes?
So you drank enough beer to get drunk?
Yeah, I drank.
Okay. All right, just checking. Just want to make sure. Just want to get the exact amount. That's all. Just trying to figure that out. Enough to get drunk. All right.
Here we go.
See a doctor, right?
Yep.
You know, I warn you against talking to the callers. I should take that advice myself.
Just look at these numbers up here, and you know how much the warning you should have.
All right. John?
What's up?
You're 17?
Yeah, I got a quick question here. I was having sex with my girlfriend, and there was like a cracking sound.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it cracked your penis.
Yeah. What's up with that?
That's a little ligament down there. Makes a little crack.
There's a ligament that holds your penis up that can crack like that.
Bad or good?
Neither.
So
a non-event.
Is that like future times happening or?
Is it what?
Is it like future times happening?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like all the other callers.
All right. It's too late.
Is it like supposed to happen in the future? Or?
Yes, it will happen in the future. Adam actually has a talent when it comes to this.
Adam, can I ask you a quick question?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. You're literally a millionaire, right?
Literally.
And this has just happened, what? How long ago?
Well,
I saw his Medicare. What was
this? I've literally become a millionaire?
The Social Security suggested it was about 4 years ago it started.
Yeah, okay. probably about 3-4 years ago that I literally became a millionaire.
Okay. How does that feel, man?
Oh, man. It's great. I got the life by the tail.
How does it feel like to see something that you like and be able to buy it or whatever, you know?
It's great, man.
And then
I
got a quick question for you guys, too. Quick question. Dr. Drew, this is for you. If you know anything about it, I'm guessing you do. For ecstasy, do you know if there's a difference between the colors of pills or...
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't think there is.
Because right now, I mean, I got friends that are doing stuff like that, you know, and my friend's getting a large sum of them, and he's getting the red pills.
Yeah, I've recently heard about these different colors, but I don't know what the differences are.
Here's the dealio. If word gets out that one color is better than the other and can be sold for more, then I'm sure the other color will start getting colored that color.
Right. Or they'll start cutting other stuff into the good color.
Right.
That's not so good.
John, you got to stay away from that ecstasy, though. That's going to be tough. You'll never literally become a millionaire if you load up on that ecstasy at 17. And the penis cracking thing, It's something that hasn't happened to me in a long time, but used to happen to me.
You're a millionaire now. I mean,
you're a millionaire. You don't have sex.
I have someone crack my penis for me. I don't
That's
do
right.
it. I don't. I won't dirty my hands with my own penis anymore. Kathy,
soil your hands. You mean?
That's right. Kathy.
Yeah.
16.
Yeah.
You have chlamydia.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, I just got it taken care of.
Okay.
Well, my boyfriend says that he has no symptoms.
That's common.
But
he still has to take the antibiotics, or he will give it right back to you.
Yeah. He hasn't went and got really checked for it yet because he's saying, you know, pretty much he didn't have it.
Have you had sex with him since you took the antibiotics?
No.
Don't. He will give it right back to you.
Okay.
All right. It doesn't matter if he has symptoms or not. He can still harbor it.
He's got to get treated, right?
Right.
Theo.
Yeah.
You're 18. You're still obsessed with your ex-boyfriend.
No, my girlfriend is.
Girlfriend. Oh, I see. Is still obsessed with her ex-boyfriend.
It's like, yeah. she kind of is my girlfriend.
Kind
of? Well, we met at, like, a battle guard where you beat people up with swords.
Sure.
And I didn't want to go just with my friends up to Club Access because I've never been there before. And so it's
a place called Battle Guard?
Yeah.
All right. All right, listen. And then he went to some club. Here's the deal.
Yeah, like on the way up.
Yeah, on the way up. Here's what's going on. If you're calling her your sort of girlfriend, and she's obsessing over another guy.
She's calling you as a friend.
I'm going to say she's not your girlfriend.
Right.
Okay? Now, you can ask her out. You can ask her to be your girlfriend. And if she then cops to being your girlfriend. Drew, what do you think? Do you think he's ever had sex with her?
Yes.
Yes?
Once.
Mo?
Once.
Yes.
No. I go no. Theo?
Yeah.
Have you had sex with her?
No.
Thank you. We'll be back. All right, everybody, that's the show. I want to thank a few people that made the show possible. I want to thank Mo Collins for coming in here.
My pleasure.
And doing a great job. And you can see her on Mad TV, Fox, Saturday nights, 11 o'clock. I want to thank Brian for coming in here and doing a great job on the phones. New broom sweeps clean. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Mm, you've always said that.
And I want to thank, wait till this kid turns on us. Starts defecating in your coffee 4 months from now.
Starts.
He's all a-holes and elbows now, but wait till he gets shaded. I want to thank Tara, don't call me Tara, God damn it, for doing a great job on the phones, even though she's not around tonight. What the hell happened to her? Producer Ann for really shifting in overdrive these last few weeks. Tons
great
of
guess.
Good guests
guess.
All week long. So Producer Ann doing a bunch of juggling behind Yay! The scenes with my schedule and Drew's schedule and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, Engineer Anderson for working his magic fingers
on
those potentiometers. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
No.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.